Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's give God a big shout. Hallelujah. That was like two people. Let's give God a big shout. Hallelujah. Okay, that was four. Let's give God a big shout. Hallelujah. All right, so this song is named God Chaser, because we are God Chasers. We run after the throne, hallelujah. He said if we go, he'll meet us, hallelujah. So let's meet him, Lord God, hallelujah, bring down. Let's go, God Chaser.
I'm a God Chaser.
Chasing a God that will let us down. You know we're not chasing a God that'll trip us up. You know we're chasing a God that blesses us, right? We just celebrated Christmas. Who are we chasing? The Savior came down, gave his life for us, so we're chasing God. So let me hear you. Can I get a little more enthusiasm? Hallelujah, God chaser.
I'm a God chaser. God chaser.
Because I love
you.
I'll chase you. Hallelujah, Lord.
Chase you in the evening time.
My heart
is desperate for
my
you.
My hunger receives my peace.
My hunger receives my
I'll
peace.
I'll chase you
in the morning.
I'll chase you in the evening time.
The evening time.
My heart is desperate.
My heart is desperate for you.
My hunger receives my reach.
My hunger receives
I'm a God
my
chaser.
Reach.
I'm a God chaser. I want God.
I need God. Because I love you, I'll chase you forever.
Sing it again. I want God. Hallelujah.
I want God.
God, we want you. We want you, Lord.
I chase God.
Lord, we need you, Lord.
Because I love you.
Because we love you.
I'll chase you.
Let your spirit come.
Because I love
we invite you,
you
here. Hallelujah.
Forever.
I want God. I want more time. Hallelujah.
I want God.
I'll chase God.
Because I love you, I'll chase you forever.
Hallelujah. Let me hear you give God a praise. Let me hear you give God a praise like never before. Let me hear you give God a shout like never before. Because we serve an almighty God. One more time. Can I hear something? All right, let's chase God. Hallelujah. The Son of Man, hallelujah. You came down and died for us, Lord, so that we can live. Hallelujah.
Son of righteousness, the King of the earth, for sinners slain.
I was lost.
I was lost in darkness, bound. You ransomed my heart.
I will. worship him. We will worship all that he is. All that he is inside of us. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We'll give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. In the splendor of
tell everyone
you died.
Hallelujah.
You
thought I was worth saving.
So you came.
So you came and changed my
you
life.
Thought I,
you thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside.
So you cleaned me up
you
inside.
Thought I was to die for.
You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed.
So you sacrificed.
So
life.
I can be.
Be free.
So I can
so
be
I
whole.
Could be
so
whole.
I can tell
so
everyone.
Can tell
bring it up. You thought I, hallelujah. You thought I was
worth saving.
So you came.
So you came and changed my
you
life.
Thought I. You.
Forever.
And I will worship you.
Forever.
life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I
was to die for.
Hallelujah, I'm mighty grateful.
So you sacrificed.
You sacrificed your life
so I can be free, so I can be whole, and I can tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you sense Jesus? He's here. God's going to heal some folks this morning. Your right leg, point your toe, follow right up your leg about 4 inches from your ankle up. Lord, I speak right now. I command healing to be done. There's another individual on your left, Achilles heel. In Jesus' name, I command it to be whole in Christ's name. Another person who's starting to deal with arthritis. The first place you felt it was in your right thumb, went down into your wrist. God is cursing that right now in Jesus' name. I command arthritis to come out of your body in the name of Jesus. To another person, you have pain in your left temple. And right now, in Jesus' name, I curse the cause of it. I command right now the cause to go. Get ready. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're setting us free. Lord, even many that are in this room right now, God, they're hungry. Lord, they have healing in their body that's needed. God, they have healing in their heart and their soul that's needed. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll just fill this room with the healing power of Jesus. Another individual, after the Christmas meals, you've not stopped having issues with the left side of your stomach, right underneath your rib cage. In the name of Jesus, I command right now that to be healed. God, I command new tissue right now in Jesus' name to be made for the glory of heaven. Father, I just thank you that you're so faithful to us. Lord, you've cleaned us up and you've called us your babies. Thank you for the privilege of being called children of God. And today, we want to honor you. Come on, one more time, sing it. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Sing it with all your heart. Had your life changed by Jesus. See, religion can't change you. Only Jesus can change you. Amen. Why don't you do me a favor? The Bible, that song at the end said, tell everyone I know. Why don't you go find 5 people you don't know in the room and say, I got Jesus living in my life. Come on now. Go encourage somebody else in the Lord. Go right out and go find somebody you don't know. Come on, go find somebody you don't know.
God who changed my life.
worship you. I'll give you glory because I am. Because I am. And I will tell everyone. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, 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 oh. To the God who changed my life. Hey, yeah. And I will praise you. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. Because I am free. Because I am whole. And I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. Because I am, because I am free. Because I am whole. And I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. Because you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Forever. 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 Forever.
Hallelujah. I want you to turn to the person next to you and ask them what their middle name is, please. Did you get their middle name? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's have the announcements.
Today, I'm hungry and I'm ready for change. I run too far to still be the same. See who I was, I give him away. Today, today, no longer bound by...
Hey, it's Tabernacle. We have the week of prayer and fasting coming up. It's going to be held January 4th through the 7th, and will be held from 7 to 8 p.m. We want to make sure that we are setting the standard, laying a foundation for 2016 for Jesus to make an impact in this region. So make sure that you come out every night. Again, it's going to be January 4th through the 7th from 7 to 8 p.m. Be here and let's pray down heaven.
I just made it.
I know. Boy, catch the vision.
Oh. I'm here for Catch the Vision. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. We want you to come in. We want you to hear the heart of the pastor. It's just amazing the miracles and wonders that occurred on how his Tabernacle Family Church got started. So we'll see you there, Classroom 1 at 10:30, Sunday.
Praise the Lord. We are so blessed that you're here. We want to welcome all of our guests. This is the aftermath of Christmas. As you can tell, there are gaping holes. It's people just getting out of vacation mode. We want to thank the Lord. Last week, we were able to minister in-house to over 1,400 people. From last Friday to Thursday night, 1,400 different people were able to come through this ministry and be touched because of you. Now, we want to do something that maybe... We very rarely do here, but we're going to do something. You don't mind? We're going to cut the last TV introduction for our TV program that runs every Sunday morning. We're going to cut it right now. At the end of it, I want you to shout, "We love you." Okay, so we're going to practice. You ready? Shout, "We love you."
We love you.
You guys shout louder than that.
We love you.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the cue when that's ready. So we're going to do the intro and exit right now. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer from His Tabernacle Family Church in Horseheads, New York, and you're watching His Word TV. We're so excited that today you're watching the last message of 2015. It's been the year of... Come on, it's the year of... The Kingdom. So get ready. I'm going to share with you the four most powerful messages that touched my life in 2015. Let's get ready and hear the Word of God. Okay, hold on. Ready? 5, 4. You're learning how we do this now. After sometimes 10 takes, as they're laughing at me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Isn't that a powerful message? You need to get those on CD or DVD or get right on our website and watch them for free. But you need to get this word in your spirit. You know, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He wants to have you become a citizen of heaven. And I'd love to pray with you right now. Come on, bow your heads right online. Let's pray right now. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, come into my life. I thank you that you are God, that you rose from the dead. And right now, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just received Jesus, we want you to know you're now born again. We have a free Bible for you. We want to encourage you. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. In fact, you need to be here this morning. 16 Level Acres Drive, 9 or 11. We'll see you in just a little bit. From His Tabernacle Family Church. You did so well. You all have faces for TV. Glory to God.
We want to welcome our guests to the house today. Thank you so much for being with us. We really love our community. How many of you enjoyed this morning the young people in the house leading worship? It is so awesome to see young adults passionate and on fire for God. How many of you wish you had Jesus at the age that they have Jesus? The incredible things they are going to do for God is awesome. So we have a ministry coming at the first of the year. Our son Chad and his new bride Jade. Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade will be coming to pastor our young adults. For the first time, we will have a pastor for 19 to 25-year-olds. They're coming back on January 8th. We're having a welcome reception. Everyone's invited to come welcome them. And in the middle of January, they will start the young adults group called Awaken Young Adults. So make sure if you're between 19 or 25, or if you know anybody of that age, you want to send them out on Tuesday nights right here to awaken, to see what God is going to do in this next year with our young adults. So we want to finish strong 2015. This is the last service of 2015. Many of you, you may have started in tithes and offerings and continued with tithes and offerings, and this is our last opportunity to finish strong in our giving. We want to finish strong and start strong in 2016. You see, Malachi 3 in the Bible, verse 10, says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be plenty of food in my house." You family have been fabulous in 2015. We have expanded ministry in our community. We have expanded the back of the building. We have been able to really propel the vision of our pastor. And we want to be able to get behind him so that there is plenty in God's house for every single good work, so that this vision can carry on. So I want to challenge you. We want to change next year. No more 20% of the people being tithers and givers and carrying the vision. My goal is Malachi 3:10, that we will bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there will be plenty for every good work. Wait until you see what we're going to be able to accomplish for the kingdom of God in 2016 when we all get on board. Nobody has to refinance their home or put a big load on their credit card. Everybody just doing their simple part, obeying the word of God, bringing all of the tithe in the storehouse. And at that moment, The prophecies that have been spoken over this house will be true. There will be plenty, more than enough for every good work. So let's finish strong 2015, but let's start 2016 strong too, with the entire family of God all bringing the tithe into the storehouse. And watch what happens next year. The dent that we make, the explosion that we make on the enemy's kingdom, bringing God's kingdom to our community. Amen. Let's stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration over our tithe. It's from Deuteronomy 28. It's simply the word of God that says, if I obey, oh, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring all the tithe to the storehouse this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you're our family too. Click on the giving button and give right along with us.
I'm a God chaser. My hunger exceeds my reach. I'll chase you in the morning. I'll chase you in the evening time. My heart is desperate for you. My hunger exceeds my reach.
Microphones work better when they're off mute. Can I agree? Amen. We have something we want to share with you real quickly. How many of you know there are some problems that are good problems? How many of you know there are some problems that are good problems? We have a good problem. How's that sound for you? This year, God has blessed us so much with ministry. We literally have been making an enormous impact in our community. And I think I shared it already, but on the 28th, we're going to actually, we were invited to a local political event, because the individual is going to be making the declaration publicly that his Tabernacle Family Church has been helping change the city of Elmira. God's been blessing us. Every single Thursday, we bus in up to 220 children, which is a lot. You know, God blesses so much this year with buses, and we had individuals buy the church a bus, and then we actually had a company from California heard what we're doing all the way here in New York, and they donated a $70,000 bus to the church to bring in more children. Well, it's working. We're out of room. We were able to, we had an individual sew enough money to be able to build an addition on the back, three brand new rooms. We have four back there, and they're all full. So we have a great problem, and that is we're out of room. So either we have to build the next building, which is worth $10 million, Or we have to switch nights. So we've chosen to switch nights this week. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the children that are under the age of 12, and we're going to bus them in on Wednesday instead of busing them in on Thursday. And Thursday nights are going to be for the Uproar Youth Ministry. They're going to be busing kids in from the age of 12 to the age of 18. And so we're switching nights. So that's a great problem, isn't it? You know what I'm excited about, what I'm praying for, and you need to pray with me, is that I'm believing God that every Tuesday night for the Awaken College and Career Group, they will reach 500. I'm believing for 500 people in the building every Tuesday night with Rock Solid Faith and Awaken. I'm believing God for 500 children under the age of 12 every Wednesday night. And I'm believing God for another 500 teenagers every single Thursday night. How many of you will pray and believe God with me that we can touch the city in that kind of capacity? You see, already we're doing the dent, but I don't want to do a dent. I want to decimate. I want the devil to know he cannot have the children of this region. Can I hear an amen? I want the devil to know he can't have our schools. He can't have our families. And whose job is it to change the world? It's the body of Christ. We are the hand of God, we are the voice of God, and we carry the strength of God with the anointing. And so this coming, January 27th, we're going to be doing this. Now, what we want to share with you today is we need your help. Right now we have about 300 souls working every single week at His Tabernacle Family Church. And we need 30 more people to put their hand to the plow on Wednesday night and on Thursday night so we can actually reach 500. Now, one thing we have found is that the children's lives are changing. We don't do babysitting, and we're not just feeding them. They're coming here, they're getting their bellies filled, and they're going into class, and literally, they're hearing the gospel, they're getting saved, and they're going home, they're going to school, and making a difference. So I'm believing God that we can truly change our region. Now, what's amazing to me is we've had people from our own body that when we started busing kids in, they stopped bringing their children to church, to the youth nights. They said, well, we don't want our children around those kind of kids. Well, I want you to know that that is very prejudiced, and that is not pretty, and that is, I'll just say it, that's disgusting. And you should be ashamed if your heart is in that manner. You need a change of heart. But we wanted to share with you, with the 30 workers, a lot of the workers we have are families, not just individuals, but they're actual families coming in together and working. We have, let's just share, go ahead.
Well, okay. One of the most awesome parts of this ministry is that this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of urgency. We know in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that God has called us to go into all the nations. And so we have the opportunity to take back these children's lives from the devil. He wants their life. But we know through Jesus Christ that we can give them life and life more abundantly. So when we have opportunity to be the love of Christ, when we sacrifice our own desires and our own conveniences, because this is a battle and it is a supernatural spiritual battle, for we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. When we are willing to be inconvenienced for the kingdom, lives change, communities change, cities are taken back, schools are taken back. So if we want revival, it has to start with a change in our own heart, in our own life, in our own perspective. And we have to be willing to put those children above ourselves. We are desperate for those that are in love with Jesus and really passionate about ministering to these children and seeing change. This is an opportunity to build legacy. This will change generation to generation to generation. And we as Christians are called to be legacy builders.
And we're finding that a lot of the workers are coming in as families. So the entire Palco family works. Amen. We have the Skinko family all working. Yeah? You come on Thursdays, though. Do you like it? You have fun? The Ostrander family works. Look at all these families. I could name you all, but they press me for time. They want me out of here early. All of them work. And we want you to know that it's not just you, but you can bring your families. Your children need to learn how to invest in other people. And that comes by... Oh.
Thursday night is my absolute favorite night of the entire week. Now, we will all attest to it is probably the hardest night of our week, right? But it is also the most rewarding night of our week. I love every week that I come and serve with these amazing people. We just get such a reward out of seeing change in our community. And Pastor shared in the early service, and Michelle, I know I saw you here somewhere, her young daughter has been helping out on Wednesday nights, and she's completely unchurched and actually not even sure if she believes in God. But when she heard that the people of the house didn't want to bring their children on Thursday night, she was disgusted. This is an 11-year-old girl who comes and serves every single week. She said, I'm not changed by their behavior. It hasn't affected me. Aaron, are you still a good boy even though you come and participate on Thursday nights? It's so rewarding for these young people to come and give and share their lives with the community. Make sure you come and participate. We have a big need. And Pastor said in first service, you know, we have a choice. We could say, and it was actually on the table. We could say, you know what? This is enough. This is all we can do. And then we've got Josiah here, saying, I don't really care if it's all we can do. We're going to bust more in. We're going to bring more kids. We're going to do more. So we have to make this change, and we need you. We need your hands. We need commitment. We need faithful people that will sign up and join with us, especially for Wednesday nights, so we can make this change so that we can reach the entire community.
Now, some of you might like teaching the children, some opportunities for that. And actually, Brenda is doing a rotation where you only have to be once a month.
Oh, every week.
She wants, my wife says every week, but you really only would have to be there once a month on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. So you don't have to be there once a month. And then we also have people that just to help cook. We have people that sit in the kitchen and they cook and they make the best meals that these kids can eat. And then we have people that actually push the carts around to bring the food to the kids. We feed the children family style because some of them have never sat down at a table and eaten family style. So they get family style meal every single Thursday night. So we want to encourage you right out at the hub. You'll be able to sign up. Now there is an application to fill out because we're working with children. All of our children are safe. And so we want to make sure that you fill out your application and that you get signed up.
So I'm going to ask that every single person in this place today, that you don't leave without stopping at the hub and saying, hub, that's what I said, hub.
Hub.
Stopping at the hub and saying, I'm willing to help. I'm willing to serve. I can push a cart. I can clean up. I can put up with some sassiness and grow a tough skin and show the love of Jesus despite any of that. Make sure you don't leave the building today without stopping at the hub. We need 30 people in order to grow the kingdom. Our other alternative is saying, we do enough, it's okay. The rest of the kids, well, it's okay if they don't hear the gospel of Jesus. That is not okay with any one of us. Not okay with any one of us. Please stop at the hub before you leave and commit to participating to Wednesday nights. Thursdays are pretty solid, but we really need help on Wednesday nights.
Thank you so much. These are all the families. They're all the children. They all work and they all give. Oh, no, these are just the ones that are here. If you work with Matthew 25 on Thursday nights, if you'll stand, whether it's bus, no matter what kind of activity you do, make sure you stand right. Come on, stand. We need more. There we go. Awesome. Give him a hand clap. Thank you all so very much. We are a working church. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. We're a working church, not a city. We don't believe in Christian welfare. What do we mean by Christian welfare? Those are folks that just take, and they never give. Being a person that's a giver is the mindset of God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Make sure you make it to the hub before you leave the service, before you leave for the day. Amen. This is the last service of 1995. How many years ago was 1995? Wow. This is the last service of 2005. No. This is the last service of, oh my goodness, 2015. Jesus is coming. Glory to God. We're closer than we've ever been before. The Messiah might come today. The trumpet of God might sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So let's all stand real quickly, because I believe we need to do a little rapture practice. Hallelujah. Can we all just, I just need you to, when I say three, just jump a little bit. Are you ready? One, two, three. Now those who didn't jump, you're going to be a little slow on the rapture. Glory to God. You may be seated. Our verse for the year is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We've been preaching this all year long. This is the year of, I said, this is the year of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, let's read it together. One, two, three, read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm sorry, my King James Version kicked in there. But seek ye first. Here we go. One more time, Matthew 6, 33. Let's read it together. One, two, three, read. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Today I want to do something I've never done before. I want to take the four most impactful messages that touched my life. How many of you know your pastor's learning too? You didn't know that? Your pastor's learning too. We're all growing. Can I hear an amen? If the pastor stops growing, the church stops growing. So we're all growing. We're all maturing. Listen now, God whoops my butt way before he ever touches yours on a Sunday morning. I mean, I'm convicted. I'm changed. I have to deal with the messages. I have to allow God's spirit to transform me by the word of God. Now, we've been talking this whole year on the kingdom. Seek ye, seek ye, seek ye, seek ye first the church. Seek ye first your religion. Seek ye first hedonism. Seek ye first the, come on, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, if you don't understand the kingdom, then how can you seek it first? So this whole year, we've been getting you out of the church mindset. God spoke to me and he said, my church has slid into the religious church mindset and they have forgotten the kingdom. If you don't understand the kingdom, then how can you walk in the kingdom? And if we're supposed to seek the kingdom first, then if we don't understand it, how can we seek it? How can we please God? How can we do what Jesus Christ taught us to do? We must understand the kingdom of God. This whole year has been on what is the kingdom, how the kingdom works. Now listen, I do need to share this with you. I probably have another 6 months of preaching I could do on the kingdom of God that we didn't even get close to, but we've got to move on. Can I hear an amen? So we're going to touch some of them next year, but I want to make sure that you hear the four most impactful messages that touched my life as your pastor while I was preaching this entire year on the kingdom. I want to remind you that we have three kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God, which is invisible. We have the kingdom of Satan, which is invisible. And we have the kingdom of the earth, which is visible. God created the earth to show forth his will from heaven to earth. Now we know that because that's what we pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. God's plan was to manifest the invisible will of heaven that was in heaven onto a physical, tangible earth where he could show his love. And we know that he did this with the Garden of Eden and with the creation of all mankind. God did this because he loves us. So I want to share certain things with you that really grasped my spirit. The first one was the message on citizenship. How many of you were here for the message on citizenship? So many individuals focus more on membership. Well, I'm a member of this church. Well, I'm a member of this religion. I'm a member of that denomination. I'm a member of this and that. Come on now. You can be a member of all of that, but God has never talked about membership in his kingdom. Membership is the mindset of religion, but not the mindset of the kingdom. God's mindset is citizenship. that you and I are called to be citizens. I want to remind you so clearly that every king has a kingdom. Every kingdom has a government. All governments are established upon a constitution, and every kingdom has citizens. And you see, God's passion is to fill the household of heaven with citizens, men and women that are now born again, washed by the blood of Christ. They know Jesus as their Savior. The relationship has been restored. You see, God is calling us back to citizenship, not to membership. The greatest thing, most powerful thing any kingdom can give, any country can give, is citizenship. In fact, in America, citizenship is very difficult and costly. Well, why is that? Because it's not a piece of paper. Most people look at citizenship as, well, I'm now a citizen of the United States. Or if you were born here, you just take for granted that you're a citizen of America. But there's a phenomenal cost in being a citizen, because citizenship is not paper, citizenship is power. Now, when we become citizens of heaven, it changes every dimension of who we are. Because now, as a citizen of heaven, we have the rights of heaven. We have what God has promised those who are his children, as we are now in the household of faith. So citizenship is power. And you know, as a Christian, as a believer, as a son and a daughter, what I have found is most believers do not live within that citizenship authority or power. They just want to become a member, or just kind of slip in a church and slip out. We must have our minds wrapped around the principles of heaven. And that is that God never came to build a religion. He never came to build a quote-unquote religious church. He came to build a family. He came to inherit, to bring the inheritance of heaven to earth. And that is, he came to those who were created in his image. And those who will confess Christ as their Savior, step into the principle of citizenship for the glory of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." Every one of us are no longer foreigners. We are no longer aliens. See, that's the biggest part. If you're a foreigner and an alien, you can be in this country, but you have no rights. You do not have the same rights as those who are citizens. You see, when we step into the principles of citizenship, then we walk different. We start living different as believers. We no longer walk around as wimpish Christians who seemingly just need a crutch to get by, but we stand in the authority of heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom, and God is our king. And with God on our side, we cannot lose. The next message that really touched my life was that of the Constitution. You know, every government is established upon a constitution. Where there is no constitution, there is no government. So God himself has said, I hold my word above my name in the book of Psalms. He made the declaration that not one jot or tittle shall pass away before all comes to completion. We know that Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that God said in Psalms 107, I'm going to send my word to heal you. Talking about Christos, talking about the Messiah, talking about Christ. Jesus is the word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is supernatural. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is our constitution. And when we know the word of God, then we understand our citizenship. As a citizen, what is in the Constitution is what the declaration of who you are and what you can do within that country. We know there's a big fight going on right now over guns, but it's in the Constitution. If it was not in the Constitution, then the right to bear arms would have already been eliminated. There's a fight going on to eliminate that principle from the Constitution of the United States. And whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's still a constitutional right. When we understand Constitution, we understand the rights and the privileges of the sons and the daughters of God. This is why the enemy works and strives so desperately to keep you out of your daily Bible reading, to keep you from being a person that will go to the house of God, that will keep you from rock solid faith or one of the other classes that we have that will teach and train you how to be a powerful person in the Word. The Word of God is so powerful, and the enemy knows, listen now, he knows so well, because when Jesus was being tempted of the devil in Luke chapter 4, the enemy would take scriptures and twist them just enough. You see, the devil never comes with whole lie. He usually comes with only half truth. And what happens when you don't know the Word, then you can buy into the deception of the devil. You see, Christ came back and he defeated the devil with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. How did he do it? He did it with the Word of God. You see, we must know the Word of God. We cannot be people that presume we know, that kind of sit back and don't know anything and rely on somebody else. You must know your constitutional rights as citizens of God's kingdom. Say amen. Everything we have in this world is based on law. Even the stars in the sky, based on law. The United States is based on law. What happens when you break the law? How many have been arrested? Don't raise your hand. You get arrested, and many people get incarcerated. Why? Because they've broken the law. Listen, we talked about laws, natural laws and spiritual laws, and how in the Word of God they are yea and they are amen, whether you like them or not. A fish, you could have a fish say, listen, I don't like water anymore. I want out. You can take the fish out of water, place it there, and for a little bit it will live. But because the law is that fish breathe underwater, that fish will ultimately die. The same law is with you. You can say, well, I don't want to live above the earth any longer. I would rather be buried underneath the dirt and live there. You're not a mole. And so therefore, you would die. It's a law. The laws of heaven are simple. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot go to heaven. You can say, I like it. You can say, I love God. You can say, I love church. You can say all those things. But the Bible declares, if you do not confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall not be saved. It is law. Law is powerful because all things are established upon law. You know, they talked about the everything exists by law and on law. 50 million galaxies have been identified by astronomers. They have not found the end of the universe. The universe is so orderly that you can calculate the movement of a rocket from Earth to Mars. If this was not so, then the rocket would collide and be destroyed. The universe is working on timing, and this proves that law governs everything. Everything exists by the law. Why is this important? Why this hit me was this. So many people do not know the scripture. We want enough of Jesus to get out of hell. We want enough of God just to pacify and placate our own emotions and our own spiritual design. But God is saying, I didn't save you to save your butt from hell. I saved you to make you a son and a daughter. I saved you that to make you a citizen. I saved you so that you may know the Constitution and that you would be my ambassador on this planet. And that where you walked, you would understand that you are not governed just by the world's view, but you are governed by mine. And what you do not have, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and you will activate supernatural constitutional principles that will transform, brought from heaven to earth, and God will change the environment around you. You see, the Constitution is mandatory. When you're a citizen, you must know your constitutional rights. I was sitting with a man just a few weeks ago. He studied in college the Constitution. He did constitutional law. And he said, if people really understood how many rights are being taken from them, how and how much authority we actually have as citizens, that we don't need to put up with a lot of this foolishness. But he said people don't know, so they just say, well, I guess that's just the way it is. And you see, believers, so many of you have been beaten down by the devil. You've been beaten down by earth's design. You've been beaten down by the world system. And God is saying, you're not governed by that world. You're governed by my world. You're not of this world. You're from my kingdom. You're my citizens from my kingdom. And my constitution activated in your life will transform the very environment that you are participating with. The next one that really touched me was that divine jurisdiction. Now, for those who don't realize it, you're seeing a miracle today. That is, I'm going to preach 4 sermons in less than 30 minutes. And can I hear an amen? Because I couldn't have preached any one of these sermons in less than an hour. And that's why some people stopped coming. The Bible makes a declaration in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see, when we understand that we are citizens, we understand the constitutional rights that we have, we understand our calling and our purpose, then we understand that wherever we go, we're not standing there by ourselves. That whatever we need that is in heaven to be brought to earth, that God has given us the right and the authority. I want to remind you that God, when God was working with mankind up to and in the law, that when Jesus came, he gave all authority to Christ. Matthew chapter 28. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, when he commissioned the disciples, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go! And he sent them out with the authority of heaven. I want you to know today that you are not weak, but that you are strong. I want you to know today that you're not just barely making it by, but as sons and daughters, citizens of heaven, as those with constitutional rights to bring heaven to earth, that you are people of power. You are people of authority. And the world needs to see that God is good, and he sees that through, they see that through you. I was talking about in the first service, I did a confession. You don't mind if I confess in 2 services, do you? Thank you. We were driving on Christmas, in Christmas traffic. Anybody drive in Christmas traffic? And we were going down to Dick's Sporting Goods, my favorite store besides Field & Stream. And as I'm pulling in, I mean, there's a line of traffic. And this dude decides to pass everybody on the right. And then he wanted to bump in front of me. And I went, I swung my head around and I said, Rhonda's saying, just let him in. I said, I don't think so. He's not getting in front of me. He's rude. And I caught eyes with him. And I went, He backed up and I kept going, and I got into Dick's Sporting Goods, and I'm walking around enjoying myself, and the Holy Spirit says, so what's going to happen if he shows up in church on Sunday? He said, you're my ambassador. You don't stand out there on your own. You're not representing your name. You're not representing the church's name. You're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're representing the one who came to die for their sins. Why are you going out there and doing your thing? You see, when we don't get the fact that we are ambassadors, what is an ambassador? It's one who stands in the stead of somebody else. It's one who's recognized as that country. It's one who's recognized as the representation of the government of the other country where they're at. And today, you and I, we are not just people wandering and meandering around on this planet, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High King. We are citizens of heaven. We are people that have a constitution. We have the law behind behind us, the law that bends, come on now, it bends natural law, the laws of heaven. And God is saying, now listen, I've given you authority as my ambassadors. I've called you to represent me. And I'm not sending you out there just barely making it by. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you a jurisdiction where you can activate the power of heaven on earth. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 10 says this, therefore God has also highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Christ has given you and I jurisdiction as ambassadors in heaven. The Bible says if we ask anything in Jesus' name, then God will bless us with it. The Bible says that every demon in hell is subject to us in the name of Jesus. And we know while Jesus walked on this planet that even the earth, the wind and the waves obeyed him. I'm here to tell you, you are not somebody just barely hoping that Christ cracks the eastern sky to deliver you from this earth, but you and I are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have jurisdiction in the heavens. We have jurisdiction on the earth. We have jurisdiction under the earth. We are ambassadors that are empowered to accomplish heaven's cause right here on this planet. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to shout myself. The last one that really touched me was access versus ownership. How many of you are here for that message? Oh my goodness. This one really still working on me. It's this study stuff that I've been going through because, you know, I have to study too. I have to learn. I'm studying and learning and listening. This one CD, I think I've listened to, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 12 times. Just keep getting into my spirit, getting into my spirit. I need to wash my mind with the word. I need the word to transform my mind. Why? Because I was taught religion. I was taught Christianity. How many of you realize Christianity, God never called you a Christian? God never once called you a Christian. That's a man-made creation. He never called you a Christian. But so many of us will adopt that name quicker than we'll adopt who God says we are. But I want you to realize that being and accepting the term Christian is far less than being who you're actually called to be. God has called you to be a son and daughter of the Most High King. God is, I'll have to do that later because I'm going to get going, so I got to behave myself. The Bible says in Psalms 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everybody shout everything. The world and all its people belong to him. It's amazing when people, they get all arrogant. And God just sits up there and shakes his head. What a fool. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The earth is the Lord's. The word Lord there is Adonai, which means owner. You see, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they had access to everything. There was nothing that was lacking in their life. They weren't lacking in their relationship with God. They weren't lacking in what they needed or what was provided for them. They had everything in their life that was there. There was absolutely no lack, no loss. There was nothing missing. There was nothing that they could not have had. But one day, as God spoke to them, he said, listen, you can have all the trees of the garden, but do not eat of this one tree. He said, do not touch the tree. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what happened? You see, God separates things to himself. They're called holy, whether you call them holy or not. If God said, that's mine, don't touch it, that means it's separated. It's holy. There are certain things you should not touch. What God was giving them the opportunity to do was for them themselves to have ownership of something that was never theirs. Free will. Here Adam and Eve walked over. They had, we all know the story. Eve took it. You know, Eve ate us out of house and home. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam willfully did his thing. Here we have, they took it, and what happened? The moment they ate of that tree, the moment they took of something that was not to be theirs, the moment they took ownership instead of stewardship, immediately they stepped into lack. Immediately their eyes were open. They could see that they were naked. Immediately they were ashamed. Immediately they covered themselves. What happened then? God took them out of the garden. They went from having everything they could have ever desired to stepping into lack. Why and how did they get into lack? Because instead of being stewards of all the things that God had given them and being faithful stewards, they decided to take something, to own something that was not theirs. And when they did, they then stepped into lack for the rest of their lives. Jesus Christ came to eliminate lack in your life. The Messiah came to restore what Adam and Eve lost. And God is calling his church back to a place where we are stewards of his goods and not owners. Come on, you remember the practice we did with that? For a whole week, you weren't allowed to say mine. How many of you tried that? How hard was that? How many of you realize how quickly you own a lot of things? That your stewards are very little, but you own most of it. That's my car. That's my house. Those are my shoes. In fact, I gave you homework where you had to give away something that you called yours. Because until we break this principle of ownership in our life, then the kingdom principle of who God is as a giver will never truly manifest through us. We'll always be takers and owners and not people who have direct access. Now, I gave the example. I've got to hurry now. What time is it? Very good. Very good. Here we go. Remember I gave the example about the $10,000? If I gave you $10,000 and said you could go to Sam's Club and spend that $10,000, how many of you would be excited about that? Sure you would. But then I looked at your friend and I said, listen, I'm not going to give you any money, but you can go to Sam's Club anytime you want and get whatever you need. Who's richer? Second guy, why? Because he has absolute access to everything he could desire, even though he doesn't have the money to make the trade. See, the person with the $10,000 owns that $10,000. But when that $10,000 is gone, what's he got left? And this is how so many believers live. We live in the process of ownership. This is my shoe. This is my house. What happens if it burns tomorrow? This is my job. What happens if you can't go to work tomorrow because either the job closed down or you got hurt? This is my money. What would happen if all of a sudden your money's dried up? I actually stood next to a man as I watched him when Corning dropped their stock. I watched him lose $300,000. I watched him slump over in his chair. What happens if you have ownership of all that, but you have no access? What do we mean by access? The Bible declares in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that you and I have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. That whatever we need, God is able to provide. You see, when we step into the access instead of ownership, then we can go to the Father in Jesus' name. And whatever we need, God will bless us with. You see, God wants you blessed, and God doesn't want you cursed. If you and I are living in lack, then we've got to ask, who and what am I owning? That is not mine, it's truly God's, and I'm supposed to be a steward of. Say amen or oh my. There is no lack in access. And as citizens, we have the right of God, the right of heaven, according to the Constitution, to step into the throne room of heaven and literally have God pull those things out of the eternal and manifest them in the temporal. And this is who you are. As believers, this is who God has called you to be. These four messages transformed my life. And they're still transforming because, honestly, being brought up the way I was, it was good religion, but bad gospel. That we've got to get back to truly understanding God's kingdom, how it works, how it lives. We explained how my wife, she had been having serious back issues, and she'd been in pain for, I don't know, how many months? Months. And I only noticed because she would tweak every once in a while. She hides pain well. And one day, as I'm preaching the gospel, I'm preaching this message. She said, God, my body's not my own. So do you want to live in a broken house or do you want to live in a whole house? And before she left that chair, God healed her back. Even your bodies, our bodies are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Every fiber of our being is not our own. We've been bought with a price. Listen, as citizens, as we recognize the Constitution, as we live within our authority, as we stand within access, then there is nothing that we cannot lay hold of. I want you to know today, as sons and daughters of God, that everything you need is God is ready to provide. Everything that you desire, God is ready to provide. God loves to bless his children. He calls us the apple of his eye. The word of God says he spins and dances over us and celebrates us. It's an awesome thing to be a citizen of heaven and to be called a child of the Most High King. Can I hear an amen? Today, I want to pray real quickly that the messages of 15 will seal in your spirit. Some of you still haven't gotten them. I understand that. Some of you never will get them, which is really sad to me. Some of you will hear this word and it will pass through you and never stop. But today I pray that you get out your catcher's mitt. I pray that you get a hold of some way to lay hold of this principle, because Jesus said it. I didn't say it. It's not some religious statement. Seek ye, seek ye, seek ye. Come on, seek ye. Not second, not third, not fourth. Seek ye the kingdom of God. And the more we understand God's kingdom, the more we'll walk in authority. The more changes will be made around us. The more people will recognize that the God you serve is not a God of weakness or a crutch, but a King of kings and a Lord of lords. And you'll walk into a room and you'll change the very environment because of the anointing that you carry. Because you'll understand the jurisdiction that you have here on earth. That when I go to work today, I'm not going on my own. I'm going anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power. Father, I pray that within a 10-foot radius, the anointing will be so strong, it will transform lives when they come into your presence. See, this is who you are. And until we really understand kingdom, then we just live Christian. Well, you can get to heaven going Christian, but you'll never live in victory being a Christian. You'll only live in victory when you understand the kingdom. Because kingdom is God's kingdom, God's principles, God's authority, and God's evidence. And I don't know about you, I don't want to serve a God that just says something. I want to see it. And God loves showing his power to his people because he is a great and mighty God and King. Amen? Stand with me to your feet real quickly. You just saw a miracle. Today, I want you to shout out with me real quickly. See, I understand what the term Christian means, Christ-like. Where it came from was Antioch. It was not a compliment to be called a Christian. But today, I want you to call yourself who God says you are as we're ending this year. I want you to decree and plant seeds in your life of who God declares you to be. Because that's who matters. Not what religion says. Not what a made up name would be, but who God says you are. Shout it out loud with me. I'm a child of the King. Come on, look at somebody in the eyes and say, I'm a child of the King. Now, come on, not many of you did that. I'm stubborn. Here we go. Turn to someone and say, I am a child of the King. Listen, if you have halitosis, just cover your mouth. One more time. Turn to someone and say, I am a child of the King. Come on, say it with confidence in your spirit. I'm a child of the King. Shout, I'm a citizen. I'm a king. Shout, I'm a priest. Shout, I'm a prince. Listen, some of you girls shouted you were a prince, and that's just not possible. So stay with the program, all righty? Here we go, one more time. Shout, I'm a child of God. Now you're getting a little bit more confident. That was louder. Are you ready? Shout, I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a citizen. Shout, I'm a king. Shout, I'm a priest. Shout, I'm a prince. You girls did all right there? Shout, I'm a princess. Shout, I'm an ambassador. Shout, I am royalty. Shout, I am a holy nation. That's who Daddy says you are. Show me one place in there where there's any defeat. Shout, I'm victorious. Glory to God. Today, that's who you are. And this kingdom principle, I pray, will stay steadfast in your spirit, man. I'd like y'all just to bow your heads real quickly. Because, you see, we can't presume that everybody in the room is a citizen. We want to make everybody a citizen of heaven. Now, how do we do that? By giving you the opportunity to receive the blood of Jesus that washes away every single sin. If today you're watching by live stream, you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what I want you to do is jump on your email. You can email me at histab, H-I-S-T-A-B, at histabernacle.com. If you give your heart to Christ, make sure you email me with the exciting news that you've gone from death to life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want Him in your life, you want to be a citizen of heaven, I want you right now to raise your hand up. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand and say, I want Christ in my life. Thank you very much. I see you both. You can put your hands right back down. Is there anyone else in the room? Come on, I can't see. Where are you? Very good. Very good in the back. Young man, sir, right over there. Is there anyone else? Come on now. Get your hand up. This is your day of deliverance, your day of being able to call Him Daddy. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else that needs Jesus as their Savior? 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. 1. Father, I thank you for these men and women who will never be the same again in Jesus' name. God, they're stepping into citizenship. They are going to be sons and daughters. They're going to be able to have all that the Constitution declares. And I thank you that today they're going to be changed forever in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar. If I can have you come. Anybody who needs prayer, the prayer team is here. They'll lay hands on you. If you're sick, they know the Constitution and the rights that you, by the blood and the power of Christ, you'll be healed. Amen. If you need deliverance, God will perform deliverance this morning. I don't know what you need. It's just someone to encourage you. They're here to pray with you and encourage you this morning. But those who accepted Jesus, want to receive the Lord as their Savior, I want you to be brave. And I want you to meet me right over here, right now. I want you to get right out of your chair. Come on now. Don't be ashamed. Grab the person right next to you. Meet me right here, right now. Come on now. Come on. You're going to find that this step, this walk, Jesus said, if you proclaim me before man, I'll proclaim me before my Father. That this is the most important walk of your life. Come on now, give them a hand clap this morning as they're getting ready to come forward to receive Jesus Christ.